Lord Jesus, we exalt your name and we magnify you. You are King of kings and Lord of lords, and we give you all the glory this morning. Lord, that's not just religious lingo that we're rattling off our tongue, but our hearts want to express our love to you and our praise to you this morning. And we do give you the glory, Jesus. We honor you and we bless your name. We praise you today. We're so thankful for coming to this earth. And as we just sang a little bit ago, that he knows our need to our weakness. You're no stranger. And Jesus, we're thankful for that this morning, that you know right where we're at individually. And Lord, we're thankful that you give aid to all who call on your name and humble themselves and come to you. And Lord, we just confess we need you. We need you. We need your grace today and every day. And we're thankful that your grace is sufficient for our every need. Lord, I pray, would you care for the needs of this congregation? Lord, there's some this morning that are dealing with sickness and health issues, and we just lift those to you today and pray, would you give a physical touch and minister to them? There's some that have heavy burdens, emotional things that are happening, and some with financial needs. And God, I just pray, would you provide for your people? Give grace to your people. I pray, would you bless them and strengthen them in every way? Lord, we just want to remember the Blowers family today, as well as Stephen's father passed away this last week. And we just lift them to you and pray, would you comfort and help them today? Lord, we pray for little Colton, this baby that's been born prematurely. But Lord, we just pray, would you minister to him today and help him to grow healthy and strong? I just pray, would you help him especially today? Lord, we just bring our congregation to you, and we just pray, would you care for your people? Lord, we ask too, would you help our nation? Lord, we pray for President Trump, for Vice President Pence. Would you bless these men, give them wisdom? And Lord, we just pray, would you lead our country in paths of righteousness for your name's sake? Lord, I would ask, would you send revival across our land? Turn the hearts of our countrymen towards you. And Lord, I just pray, may truth be proclaimed and revealed to the hearts of our fellow countrymen, Lord. And we just ask, may your name be exalted within our country. And Lord, we just pray, would you bless America? And we just ask you for this today. But Lord, help us as a church. May we be a light for you. And I pray, would you use us to minister to our community? May we be able to be your hands and your feet to a broken and lost world. And I just pray, would you use us for your glory and your honor? We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
A couple quick announcements, and then we're going to have our morning offering this morning. It's just for general giving. Helps us build God's kingdom here in Thomasville and the Davidson County area. And so thank you for your giving this morning. Gentlemen, if you would go ahead and come ahead. A couple quick announcements. There will be a short practice with the kids club, kids choir, following the service this morning. So I want to remind you about that. This Wednesday night, there will be no service. It's Christmas Day. So how many of you want to come on Christmas Day? I didn't think so. So there's no service. We're going to just enjoy time with your friends and family. And then tonight, obviously, is the Candlelight Concert. So don't forget about that. Make sure you come tonight. We're going to have a packed house. So if you could, when you come tonight, make sure we cram as many people as you can in each row. When you come, try and consolidate. Put the kids on the lap, whatever we got to do. And we usually have a pretty full crowd. But don't forget to come tonight at 6. It's going to be a great evening this evening. Gentlemen, go ahead. I believe at this time we have an offertory this morning by Miss Michelle Mater. So let's worship together.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle, for that beautiful song. Choir's coming at this time. They're going to sing for us. Looking forward to hearing from our Kids Club choir tonight, and our Patch the Pirate kids are going to be singing tonight. And I know maybe Pastor Jeff maybe mentioned this already. Forgive me if I'm being redundant, but they will be meeting right after service this morning for a short practice. So looking forward to hearing from them tonight. We're going to sing a couple songs. If you come back tonight, and I hope you will, you're going to hear these songs again. We're going to practice on you this morning a little bit, a couple Christmas songs that we've been learning as a choir.
Stars. Thank you, choir. Didn't they do a good job? Give them another round of applause as they head back to their seats. Amen. Come back tonight and they'll be singing quite a few more songs, and our kids will be singing, and a lot of music in the service tonight, so you don't want to miss that. And we also have a treat for everybody. We have a Christmas candy bag we want to give everybody. So invite your neighbors and your friends, everybody, to our candlelight service, and we have plenty of candy. We bought extra because every week we have staff meeting, pastoral staff meeting, and we figured through the month of January we could keep on celebrating Christmas if there was any left over. So please come and be a part of that. We welcome you to the house of the Lord this morning, and very grateful for the Lord's presence here and all of you being a part of this special Christmas Sunday. I hope that you take time to rejoice in the Savior this week. In the midst of travel plans and family gatherings and eating and all those things, I pray that God's presence is very real. And don't forget to read your children the Christmas story. That's a very important thing that you need to do, and I hope all of you do that with your families. It is customary in our society when a man decides he has found the woman that he wants to live for the rest of his life with, the woman he wants to marry, it is customary for that man to make a proposal to that woman. They do it in a variety of different ways. Some make a big old plan and they videotape it and do all that kind of stuff. But in our society, typically, probably not in every situation or every circumstance, but most often, the man will do the asking. And he will look at the woman that he loves, the woman that he spent time with, the woman that he has decided will be his wife if she says yes. And he asks her, "Will you marry me?" And ladies, I don't know if you realize just how tentative it is for a man to stick his neck on the line, to show his emotions towards his beloved, knowing that she has the opportunity to say either yes or no, or wait, or I'll have to pray about it, or I'll have to ask my dad, or I don't know what all they say. Yes or no, whatever. And I would imagine that most men probably don't ask the question until they at least have a good idea what the answer is going to be. And the lady in this relationship, the young love of his life whom he has pursued, she has the opportunity to say yes. Yes, in return for your proposal towards me, I will say yes, I will be your wife, I will be your partner for life, we will plan our lives together. In this day and age of Facebook, which I'm not on Facebook, but many of you are, I think that's where the news ends up first. In fact, they even prepare signs for the event. You know, I said yes, or she said yes, and now there's a lot of people selling those signs on Pinterest. I'm not on Pinterest either, but I hear this is the case. You know, the big sign, she said yes, or whatever the case may be. What's amazing to me is this young lady is going to say yes to something that she really has no idea whether it's going to be successful or not. In our society, because of the divorce rate and the heartache that even many here today have lived through, saying yes doesn't guarantee success. Because when she says yes to that young man who's on bended knee asking for her hand in marriage, she is saying yes to a fallible human being who is not perfect, who makes mistakes. She's saying yes to a situation where she is going to commit to him her life and her future, but she doesn't know if he's going to be faithful to her. She doesn't even know that he's going to do everything that he said he was going to do. But she says yes. And it is a celebrated event. And when a young man and a young lady become engaged, we rejoice with them. We're excited, even though we don't know the future. It is also customary in our society for a person, be it a young man or a young lady, to sign a piece of paper on the dotted line and join the ranks of our armed forces. Think about this for just a moment. Essentially, when that young cadet, that young recruit, signs his name on that dotted line, he is signing away the next 2, maybe 4 years of his life, or even more, maybe 20 or 30 years of his life. He is saying, I am going to give my government the right to tell me where to live, what to do, where to raise a family for X amount of years of my life. And these men and women who sign on this dotted line, who sign to become a part of our military, these women and men are excited to say yes. And we, as citizens of this great nation, we applaud them and we're grateful for them. If you're grateful for those that serve in our military, would you say amen this morning? Amen. We are grateful that there are some young people, and maybe even some a little bit older, that agree to serve a government that is made up of, I don't know if you know this or not, but our government is made up of fallible, imperfect human beings who make decisions about our country and about these young people who are serving our country that you and I probably, at least as we look back in history, would disagree with. We support these men and these women who surrender their life, who say yes to military service, because we're grateful for them. But they, think about this, they don't know if the government to which they are saying yes to is going to treat them right or ask them to do proper things. All they know is they've said yes. Both of these examples, the proposal of marriage and the surrender of a person's life to become a part of our military, are examples in our society that we celebrate, and they are examples of people who say yes. As a pastor, I find it amazing that women sometimes are quicker to say yes to a marriage proposal with a man who is human and failed and imperfect than they are to sometimes say yes to a God who is perfect and just and righteous. I find it amazing that sometimes we understand the surrender of a person's life into military service, and we should applaud that and be grateful for that. But those who surrender their life to military service, many of them do it much more quickly and with much less thought than they would to surrender their life to a God who will never do them wrong and who will never take advantage of them if they surrender to Him. At Christmas time, what we have is many examples, biblical examples of people in the Christmas story who have said yes to God. I want to look at one of them, and I know this is familiar, and I know the passage I'm going to read to you in just a moment is a passage you've heard, but I want you to look at it in terms of the yes that is said. I want to look at Mary this morning, this teenage girl probably. This girl has already said yes to a proposal in her life. Joseph probably got down on a bended knee and presented her one of his carpenter hammers or something. I don't know what he did. Joseph was the man in her life. And when the proposal happened, and I know there was family involved and it was a little bit different, the traditions back then were different than our societal traditions today. But when Joseph made the proposal, Mary said yes, and they became a couple, a thing. They were betrothed to one another. They were legally bound together, moving towards the wedding day. Mary was excited. She'd already put it on Facebook. Everybody knew. Obviously, she didn't, but In that society, the news traveled just as fast as Facebook does today. Maybe not quite as millisecond fast, but everybody knew Joseph, this kind and faithful carpenter, had asked this beautiful young lady to marry him, and she said yes, and now we're planning and we're preparing a wedding. But in the passage we're going to read, Mary, who said yes to Joseph, is now given another opportunity to say yes or no to a proposal. Mary, in this passage, Luke chapter 1, is asked by God to carry the hope of the world to the world. She is asked by God to take within herself the divine implantation of the Son of God and give birth to the Messiah. She is to carry the gospel. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world, she is to carry that within her. By the way, this is just a side note. I thought about this earlier as I was preparing. Did you know that what you carry in your life changes you? When Mary carried Jesus, her life was never the same again. It affected her outlook, it affected her relationships, it affected everything. And if you carry positive things in your life, it'll have a positive influence in your life. But if you carry grudges and bitterness and anger, I promise you it will affect your life, because what you carry affects you, for good or for evil. Today, Mary is honored and revered and spoken of in reverent terms. We do that here. I can't imagine someday going to heaven and being able to listen to Mary tell her own story. Wouldn't that be incredible? What was the emotions that was going through her mind? What was she feeling? We try to take a picture of this and put it out for thousands of people to see during Journey to Bethlehem. It's just an amazing thought, what she was, the task she was given by God to do. I bet if Mary were standing here today, probably if we invited her somehow to tell her story to us today, one of the first things she would tell us is how appalled she is that there are many people in our world today who worship her just as much as they worship her son, who somehow pray to her as if she were a queen goddess or something. And she would stand before us and say, "No way, I was just a humble servant doing the bidding of Almighty God. It was a privilege to carry the Son of God." But when Mary held Jesus in her arms, she didn't look at him as some hierarchy of divine figure or divine hierarchy. She looked at him like she was given the responsibility to care for the very Son of God. She would tell you, and she would tell us that today. So when we read Luke chapter 1, what we're going to read is the account of a yes. That's pretty amazing. Take your Bibles, look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Just a few verses I want to read to you. It's familiar, but it's important. Let's read it. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin who was betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And having come to her, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' And when she saw him, the angel, she was troubled at his saying, and she considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said unto her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary had a question. She said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man? I have never experienced sexual relations with a man. How in the world is this possible?' Verse 35, the angel answered to her and said, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born of you will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her, who was called barren. And then there's this phrase, quoting what the angel tells Mary, and you and I should put this phrase in our minds, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Then Mary said, here's the yes. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, the handmaiden of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Let me point out a couple things in this passage. I noticed the first phrase, the first word the angel said is rejoice. God is asking Mary to say yes to something huge that's going to change her life. And his first expression of communication through his angel to Mary is rejoice. What you are about to sign off on, what you're about to say yes to, should be the cause of great rejoicing in your life. God had the message for Mary that he was going to use her to carry his son Jesus Christ. But he starts with this word, rejoice. When you say yes to a divine God who loves you, sent his son to die for you, cares infinitely about you, it's not a difficult, laborious, unbelievable thing you have to do. It should be a cause for rejoicing in your life. When God speaks to us, whether it be conviction or encouragement, we should rejoice that the God of the universe is communicating with us. Later on in this passage in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 56, we're not going to read it, but we see that Mary does rejoice. In fact, she composes a hymn, a psalm of thanksgiving. And in the midst of that, she says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. She is rejoicing and the joy is bubbling over. And she writes these words as we still read even to this day. You can read it later at the rest of Luke chapter 1. And then the angel says to her, not only rejoice, but he says, highly favored one. He says to her, you have been chosen by God. When God whispers to your heart and to mine, and he wants you to surrender, or he wants you to say yes to something, it is not, how do I say this? It's not that God wants you to give up something. It's a God who says, hey, I have something really good for you. You are highly favored. And by the way, there's only one other time in the New Testament that this phrase highly favored appears. It's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. And one time it was to Mary, but in Ephesians chapter 1, it's to all of us believers. Because his grace, it says, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. You are beloved of God. That's why he communicates to you. That's why he asks something of you and of me. Because he loves us. Because we're highly favored. Because we're beloved to him. When God asks you to do something, he asks you to say yes to a certain direction, to a certain surrender in your life, he's not asking you from a heart of vindictiveness or anger or trying to force his will upon us. He's asking us because he's so joyful about what he's going to do for us. We are highly favored. That's why he wants us to say yes. I want you to know this morning, and I didn't know who all was going to be here this morning. And I'm not talking about anyone in particular. I just know in our congregation, there are many who have served the Lord for many years. And you know the joy of surrendering your life to Christ. But there are also some, maybe you functioned as a Christian. Maybe you want to get to heaven someday. But you're not sure about fully surrendering every part of your life to him. Can I tell you, God is interested in you. You are highly favored. He wants to have a communication with you. You have been chosen by God. It wasn't just Mary, although there's only one earthly mother of Jesus. But we are all recipients of God's grace. We are all, as the song says, you remember the guys from the prison quartet, they started off greatly blessed and highly favored. You remember that song? That describes all of us who have been bought into the kingdom of God through his grace. The angel said, "Rejoice, Mary. You are a highly favored one." And then he says something really, really important. He said, "The Lord is with you." The Lord is not standoffish saying, "I want you to do this and I want you to do that and I want you to go here." The Lord is not in an office in the Pentagon moving soldiers around on some map. Well, this battalion's going to go over here and this one's going to go over here and they have this mission and that mission. No, 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 no. That's not how God does it. He's not up in heaven just pushing pins on a board saying, "You go here and you go here." God is with us. And the angel communicated this to Mary. The Lord is with you. In fact, it's not just for Mary. There are many times in Scripture, Ecclesiastes and Psalms, a couple of different times, even Psalm 23, the Lord is with us, Philippians chapter 4. In Matthew 28, at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, he said, verse 20 of Matthew 28, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Emmanuel means God is with us. He is here. He's not asking you or me to surrender anything in our life in a vacuum. Like, "I'm over here and you're down there. Do what I say." That's not how God works. That's not how God worked with Mary. He said, through the angel, "The Lord is with you." And then the words that probably we need to repeat over and over again, the angel looked at Mary and said, "Do not be afraid." Mary didn't know exactly what was going to happen in her life. On the other side of her yes, she didn't know that one day she would be so revered and worshipped even, unfortunately. She didn't know all of the details of what it meant to give birth to Messiah, to the Messiah. All she knew in that moment, she was troubled. We just read it. She was afraid. She was scared. And I understand when God asks us to do something, we don't know what's beyond that door. We don't know what's over the fence. We don't know what's beyond that turn. We don't know all the things that God has for us. But we do need to know that we don't have to be afraid. If you and I can walk into a marriage with the bells ringing and the rice flying and all those things with joy in our hearts, even though we know there is potential for trouble down the road, how much more should we rejoice in surrendering to a God who loves us with infinite perfection? If we, and I'm not talking about me personally, but in our society, if we can do an honorable thing to sign up, to serve our armed forces, to serve our country, and do it with joy and excitement, and we all rejoice about someone completing boot camp, and it's a great time of commendation, how much more should we rejoice in someone who is surrendering their life to Christ? And how much more should we not be afraid of a God who knows much more than a government or a fallible human being how to have us live a life that's filled with joy and peace and happiness? Some of you say, "Well, if an angel appeared to me, I'd surrender. I'd say yes." I understand. It must have been shocking for Mary. But think about this. I know God doesn't work that way in the same way he did in Scripture. In fact, if an angel did appear to you and said, "Hey, you need to say yes to this and you need to surrender this," and you surrendered because an angel appeared to you, you were shocked and it was amazing, you could come to church the next week and you could tell the rest of us that an angel appeared to you. We wouldn't believe you. In fact, we'd start backing up, getting our phones out, saying, we need to call some help. We need to get a counselor. We need it. Why? Because just not how it's done these days. And the same is true with Mary. Mary said yes. Verse 38, we just read it. She said, Let it be to me according to your word. She said yes, but she didn't know what was on the other side of that yes. Some things she did know. In fact, she knew more about what she would lose than what she would gain. Mary knew that when she said yes to God and yes to his plan for her life, she was saying no to some of the things in her life that she held most dear. Let me give you a couple examples. When Mary said yes to God, she was saying no to a normal life. When she said yes to God, her life that she had been raised to have, her culture, her society, it all went out the window. It all changed for her. When she said yes to God, Mary said no to her wedding plans. Mary didn't have a wedding. In that society, they were outcasts. All the dreams that she had as a little girl about coming into the wedding ceremony, and it wasn't just a service. They prepared for months and even years sometimes for this ceremony. And not only that, it wasn't just one moment. There was multiple moments and multiple traditions, and it happened over a period of days, and there were celebrations and feastings, and everybody was rejoicing. And when the bride showed up, everybody looked at her. Everybody rejoiced in her. Everybody rejoiced in her perfect and special day. Mary didn't get any of that. She gave it all up to say yes to God. When Mary said yes to God, she said no to having a normal family. I mean, what do you do when your firstborn is the son of God? How do you scold him? Well, he never did anything wrong. I don't think Jesus ever got a spanking because he never disobeyed his mother. But what about the other siblings in the family? I mean, comedians make jokes about this all the time. How do you like to be Jesus' younger brother? Why don't you act like Jesus, you know, comparing the other kids to Jesus? Mary's life was no longer normal. She had given birth, at least in people's eyes, to a baby out of wedlock. And her and Joseph were whispered about, talked about, gossiped about their entire life. And not only that, when she said yes to God, she said no to stability in her life. They had her little world of just living in Nazareth where she grew up and having a home and a family and doing what her mother did and her grandmother did, that was all out the window. They had to go to Bethlehem, and then they settled in Bethlehem, and then they had to go to Egypt, far out of the country. She's moving, and you know how it is to pack boxes and then unpack boxes and then pack boxes and unpack boxes. And what about the money? It's a lot of money to move. It's a lot of money to flee for your life. The uncertainty that Mary experienced didn't hinder her from saying yes to God. In fact, I believe Mary probably knew more about the things she was going to lose than she did about the things that she was going to gain. Mary is an example to us of the joy of complete surrender to God. She knew that she would deliver the deliverer. She knew that she would carry the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and give birth to him, so that God could accomplish his plan here on earth. So here's my question to all of us. Why do we struggle to say yes to God? For some people, they don't even want to become a Christian. Because when I become a Christian, I have to quit doing so many things. When I become a Christian, I'm going to have to give up this and give up that. I don't know if I want to be a Christian. But not only that, sometimes we say we are Christian and we surrender to God, at least because we want to go to heaven someday, we want to avoid the horribleness of hell. But why do we struggle to say yes when God calls us to do something? If we knew that the God who created the universe, that we believe was the creator of the universe, if we knew that he had enough power to create the universe, why do we struggle to know that he can create a life for us that's filled with joy and peace and happiness? If God can speak and fling stars into existence and planets appear out of nothing, don't you think he can handle your problems and mine? Don't you think he can make a life for you that is way more filled with joy and peace and happiness than you could ever create for yourself? And yet we struggle to say yes to God. We struggle to allow God to do it his way because we're trying to do it our own way. And we grasp at things that are so dear to us. We grasp at our dreams and our plans. We hold tightly around us a cloak of our security. No, don't take that from me. I need that. It's like us looking at a baby who's sucking on a pacifier. We're like, nope, it's not. You're going to ruin your teeth. Nope, we got to take that pacifier. And the baby screams, I want my pacifier. I want my security. And we as parents know it's not going to be good. I mean, can you imagine a 30-year-old man walking around with a pacifier? It's ludicrous. Listen, God the Father is looking at all of us with our security blankets and our pacifiers and all the things that we are holding to so tightly. And God's not laughing at us, but he's looking at us and saying, if you only knew, I can do way better for you than a pacifier. I can give you more security than a blanket that you suck your thumb with or some kind of a Raggedy Ann doll. I can do more for you to bring security and happiness and peace in your life than you could ever find in anything that you hold in your hand. We grasp at our financial stability. In fact, here in America, we work really hard at it. Some of the hardest working people in the world are right here in America. And we should work hard. I think it's a biblical principle. We should work hard. We should provide for our families. But there's a fine line between providing and working and actually becoming so fulfilled by our work and our finances and our plans and our retirement accounts that we begin to hold them so dear that God can't ask for them. And I know you want to provide for your family. You want to provide for the future? I understand all that. And we should be frugal, and we should go to Financial Peace University, and we should save money, and we shouldn't get into debt. I understand all that. But there will come a time in your life when God's going to tap his finger on you and say, I want you to give up this. And financially, it won't make any sense. But Lord, there's a good reason why that money's in that account. But Lord, I put that money aside so that we could do this. But Lord, don't you want me to make memories with my children? Lord, don't you want me to? And God says, I want you right now to give this up. It could be a job. It could be money in an account. It could be a lot of things. All I know is we hold these things so dear when God knows what's on the other side of yes. And what if Mary had said, no, I'm not going to be your handmaid servant. I'm not going to carry the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What if she would have said no? She wouldn't have ended up in Scripture, for one. She also would have lived a life of regret and unhappiness because she had told God no. We grasp at things. Our future, our plans, our family. We think we know how life should be, and we map it all out, and we try to figure it out, and we try to solve all the problems. All the while, every time God speaks to us, we say, No, God, creator of the universe, almighty, sovereign being who knows everything, created time, created me. You don't know anything, Lord. I know how to rule my life. And I understand. I understand things have happened in my life where I look up at God and I say, why did you let this happen? Because this has caused pain in my life. But just as a child is in a doctor's office and instead of giving him a pacifier, we give him a shot, that 3-year-old kid is not going to understand a shot. But we do. And I don't like to get shots, even to this day. And spiritually speaking, I don't like it when God gives me discipline and shots. I don't like it when things don't go well. I don't like it when people talk about me on Facebook. I don't like it when my name is gossiped. I don't like it when people don't understand why I do what I do. I don't like it when people turn their back on me. I don't like it when people say one thing to me in front of my face and another thing behind my back. I don't like any of that stuff. And neither do you. Why, God, did you let this person do this to me? God, in His sovereignty, understands what we don't understand. God, in His infinite wisdom, understands that we must walk through these situations of life in order to experience Him in His fullness and understand what He wants us to do. I don't stand up here having all the answers, but I know a God who does. And He's not going to share us all the answers today or tomorrow or any other time, but one day when we stand before Him on the other side of our life filled with a bunch of yeses, we're going to stand before Him and it's going to all make sense. Listen, Mary gave up everything she knew. Her wedding, her relationship with Joseph, she didn't know Joseph was going to take her back. She thought she was going to give birth to the baby all alone. Mary didn't know that one day she would be watching kings come in and worship her little baby. She didn't know that. She had no clue. She didn't know a star would appear in the heavens. Mary also didn't know that one day she'd be standing on a hillside watching her son be crucified. She didn't know that either. We don't know all the details of what God has in store, but I want to tell you this. The God who chose Mary is wanting to choose you. And if you're a Christian and you put your faith and trust in God, but you come up against issues and circumstances of surrender in your life and you can't give it up, I just want you to know this morning, our God is a trustworthy God. And if He can take care of Mary, He can take care of you. And don't go backwards in your relationship with God, giving up things that you've, taking back things you've already given up, taking back into yourself things that you've already surrendered. Mary had such a simple confidence in the goodness of God that she said yes. And on the other side of that yes was the joy of being used by God in a mighty way. Today we hold so many things dear. I've mentioned some of them. Even as Americans, we hold our freedom so dear. But you know what? There may come a time when we have to give that up in order to accomplish what God wants to accomplish for His kingdom. Christianity is growing like wildfire in the places of the most persecution today. It's amazing. And Mary was willing to surrender her plans in order to experience the miracle of the virgin birth. And by the way, just as a side note, if anybody knew that she gave birth to the Son of God, Mary did. She knew she was still a virgin. Everybody else can believe it, but Mary knew it. And when she gave birth to that baby and she held Jesus in her arms for the first time, she knew she was holding the very Son of a divine being, the God who created the world. And Mary also knew something else that I hope every single one of you can know, and that is the joy of saying yes to God. If you want to be like Mary, you have to say yes like Mary. And so my question this morning to all of us, myself included, is why do we struggle to say yes to God? We believe in God. We know that He is good and righteous. We're so grateful He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins so we don't have to go to hell. We want to go to heaven, but we don't want to say yes to Him. We believe that God created the entire world, but we don't believe He can handle our problems. During World War II, we had already won the war in Europe, but we were still fighting an incredibly vicious war with Japan. If you read the history books, the battles that were being fought in the Pacific Theater were some of the most violent battles ever fought on this earth. Why? Because the Japanese had this way of conducting themselves that they will never surrender. The Japanese, and you know this, the Japanese would fight to the death. In fact, we came up with a word, I think it's a Japanese word, that describes their tenacity and their determination to kill you even if it kills me. It's the word kamikaze. Even to this day, we think about kamikaze, it doesn't even register in our minds here in America. That these pilots would take their plane and with this grit and determination, they would take off knowing that it's the last time they're going to take off. They would take off knowing that their only mission is to destroy themselves and at the same time to try to destroy whoever else they could. And when we begin to take over those islands in the Pacific and we begin to bring our soldiers, it was almost impossible to win those battles without losing hundreds and thousands of our boys in our military. Because they would be vicious. They would hide in those holes in those until it was night. And then they'd sneak out and just kill as many people as possible. Surrender was not an option until the atomic bombs were dropped. And I know there's a lot of controversy about that, but I understand it was a terrible decision to make. But President Truman, I've read the account, they asked him, did you hesitate to make the decision to approve the atomic bomb to be dropped? He said, not even one. I didn't lose any sleep over it. And because in the big picture of this fight with these kamikaze fight to the death soldiers, there is only one way to win, and that is to show them there's no other option. And they dropped the atomic bomb twice. Japan did not want to surrender. But here's what they didn't know. Today, let me talk about Japan today. I've been to Japan. Didn't spend a long time there, but we flew through there, changed planes, and argued with the people in the airport. Japan is one of the most technologically advanced societies in the world today. They went from a dictator emperor to democracy and freedom. They went from the oppression of an emperor who basically says, fight for me until you're all dead, to a society today that in many ways is the envy of the world. Now, we think we're better than Japan here in the United States, but the truth is they're innovative. And they're hardworking people. And they're successful. And what they didn't know is this. When they signed on that boat, that battleship, they signed their unconditional surrender to the United States. They actually signed a paper that gave their people more freedom and prosperity and opportunity than they could ever manufacture themselves. I want our musicians to come. There's someone here this morning that God is asking to surrender. And you're fearful and you're afraid and you're worried because surrender is such a negative word in your mind. The idea of saying yes to God, saying no to all these things that we know and that we care about, the idea of giving up life as you know it to say yes to God is a scary thought. Unless you know what's on the other side of yes. And I can promise you that the God that you surrender to knows how to take care of you better than the United States took care of Japan after they surrendered. And the God that you will surrender to knows how to take care of you better than you and I know how to take care of ourselves. My question is, why do we struggle to say yes to God? I'm not sure why, but I feel very compelled by the Lord to open the altar this morning. Because at this Christmas time, before we turn into year 2020, there is somebody who needs to say yes to God. And I know it's scary, and I know it's difficult, and I know many of you have lived your lives for so many years, and you have it all figured out, and you have a reputation to uphold. But when you stand for God, none of that stuff matters. The only thing that matters is your surrender to an almighty God who loves you and cares about you. I want you to stand. I want Pastor Mike to sing for just a moment. And I want you to think about this question. Why is it so hard to say yes to God?
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live.
Is there anybody here this morning that needs to surrender? Come to church here very often, you know that I'm not a very pressurized type of pastor trying to push people to decisions. In fact, I am very, very cognizant of the fact that the Holy Spirit has to work. But I will tell you, the Holy Spirit's been working on me for some time about this message. And Christmas time isn't just a time to enjoy the lights and the cookies and everything else. Christmas time is a good time to reevaluate your walk with the Lord. And I'm appealing to you this morning. If you have never surrendered your life to Christ, I want you to come and experience the joy of knowing your sins are forgiven. But I'm also appealing to you this morning. If you've been living your life thinking that you don't have to say yes in every area, thinking that you can make it to heaven without fully surrendering to God, or even thinking that God really, really is not asking me to do that, but He is. And I don't know what He's asking you to do. I just know that the Holy Spirit is faithful to speak to your hearts and mine. I want them to sing another verse. And I'm not going to be long this morning, but I'm going to wait in the moment here. And I'm going to ask God to speak to you, because I believe someone needs to say yes to God today. Sing another verse.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all.
Yes.
I surrender all.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
All.
Anybody?
To Thee, my blessed.
Praise the Lord.
Savior, I surrender.
We're not done yet, but I want to take a moment and pray. Dear Lord, I'm not the most gifted preacher. And sometimes I struggle to know how to close a service and how to allow You to work and give people a chance to respond. But today, Lord, I just know that somebody needs to say yes. And Lord, I know that You are a trustworthy God. But Lord, I pray for that person here today who is trusting themselves more than they're trusting You.
I pray for that person here today who is so confident in their own abilities to figure life out that they've been squeezing you out of their life. I pray for that person today, Lord, who's been holding on to the securities of life, thinking that they're safe, not realizing that security and safety comes in saying yes to you. I pray, Lord, you'd take my feeble words. You'd take this powerful passage of Scripture, and you would help us to respond as you want us to. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to hearts and that you would do eternal business in our lives today. Help us to say yes, Lord, to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Mike, would you sing one more?
All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee.
Yes, Lord.
Fill me with thy love.
Yes, Lord.
And power, let thy blessing.
I want everyone to sing the chorus, please.
Blessed Savior. I surrender.
One more time that chorus, please. Everybody sing.
I surrender all. I surrender all.
Would you carefully bow your heads and close your eyes? I am not going to try to embarrass you, but I have felt so compelled about this message. I just want to make sure that you have every opportunity to say yes to God. And if you don't feel comfortable doing it here, I want to be praying for you that you'll do it soon. And so I want to ask you this question, and I am serious. Please, no one looking around, except for Pastor Mike, myself, we're going to pray for you. I would like to know, is there anyone here today who would say, Pastor Heath, there's something in my life that God has put his finger on, and I haven't surrendered. I haven't said yes to him, and I know it, and I want you to pray for me. I want you to raise your hand right now if you feel that way. Is there anyone like that? There's something in my life that I have not said yes to God about. Anybody? No one's looking around. See that hand? Anybody else? You can raise your heads. I'm not here to scold you. I'm here to love you, pray for you, encourage you to say yes to God. We're going to close in prayer. Some are up here praying, and I thank the Lord for their courage, and I pray the Lord is especially real to them. I'd like for some of you ladies to gather in, if you don't mind. I want to support these ladies who are praying in prayer. I feel like it's something we need to do. After we pray, if you need to go, please go quietly. Tonight will be a joyful service. It'll be a great time together. Choir will be singing, kids will be singing, but let's be in prayer together for the truth that we shared this morning. Let's pray. Lord, thank you once again for your word. I thank you for this good crowd on this Sunday morning. Thank you for Christmas time. We can rejoice in you sending your son. I pray you'd bless every person here today. For those that have come to pray, I pray you'd meet their need. For those that raised their hand, I pray you'd meet their need. And for those that have just been hesitant, I pray that the words that have been spoken today would just sink into their heart, and that the truth of your word would be really close to them over the next few days. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory, and we will rejoice once again in you sending your son to this earth. And we thank you that you love us enough to do that. May your name be glorified in our lives, we pray. Be with us in the service tonight. May it be a joyful time of celebrating the Christmas story, we pray. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Thank you for being very kind in your attention this morning. You are dismissed. The Lord bless every one of you.